Right. So wanted to talk about when do you feel is a good amount of time before a couple, assuming they don't have kids before marriage, start trying to have kids? Like, what would you advise somebody? Obviously, everybody's situation is different. Like, nobody, like, everybody do what they want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But like, what do you feel like is a good amount, and for what reasons?
That's tough. That's tough for me because it's like, do you want to enjoy your 20s and then when you get older be bothered with kids? Or do you want to just buckle down when you are younger, have kids, have the energy to deal with them, and then when you are not too old,
Middle
but
age.
middle aged,
Bear,
have your
stop.
fun. You know what I mean? Because, like, let's take out the outliers, which would be, athletes and, artists and stuff like that. All the things that, all the occupations or whatever you want to call it that will give you millions early. Let's just take that out. Let's talk about, we're just going to talk in general with regular people. I would say, to get the kids out the way. I would say to get the kids out of the way because you have the energy to deal with them. A lot of people that you might see that's going on a bunch of exotic trips probably scrounged up some money from that, or they got a loan to go on a trip. And it's like they messing up their money and stuff like that. What the heck
How
is he
did he
doing?
even reach that?
That's crazy. Dog back there tweaking. I guess that's all I could think of right now for that. And then, like, if you also look at like when most people make the most money, it's in their 40s. You know what I'm saying? It's their 30s and 40s. That's when they got the most bread. So it's like, do the delayed gratification thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes sense to have kids young, like I said, to have the energy and stuff. And then when you start to get a little older, you'll have the funds to do what you really want to do. Maybe if you want to travel, or if you want to get you a crib that if you're a homebody, you get your crib that you got everything that you want in there so that you don't have to leave type stuff. You know
I
what I'm
mean, what if
saying?
the person, what if the couple already has the funds? Like, they both got really good careers.
But that's what I'm, but that, what do you mean by good careers?
I'm
You mean they're
saying,
making,
like,
both of them making six figures? Because
don't
most
have to
women,
necessarily be six figures, but I'm just saying, like, what if they're not struggling and they, like, feel like financially they could, have a child or whatever? Like, let's say
that's what I'm saying.
like somebody who works on the, in the mill, and somebody who is a nurse.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Those are not
What?
outliers.
Those are not outliers, but I'm saying, like, I'm still saying you should have kids early. You should have kids as early as possible. To me.
Okay.
Even if you got the funds to do what you want to do.
Now, so I wasn't talking about age
What are you talking
when
about?
I was asking my question. I was talking about in the length of their marriage. Like, You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Like, not how old they are.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever stage that a person gets married, if they're in their 30s or if they're in their 20s, whatever, how long into their marriage should they wait?
It still would depend on age, especially for a woman. You know what I mean? And if you're a man and you care about your lady, you also just shouldn't want your lady to be in the type of distress that they would be in if they get, if they have a baby, you know, too late or later into their 30s. You know what I'm saying? Like, it gets really tough.
Someone don't care.
If they don't, if the woman doesn't care, cool. Yeah. But it's also a reality thing. Like, regardless of if you care or not, that's going to be tough on your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And I mean, it's going to be tough on your body regardless of what age you are.
It's not as tough. And it's, and you're not in a at-risk pregnancy, right? When, if you have the baby at a certain time, you know, in your 20s, you're not at risk. Let's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about sick people. We're talking about healthy people.
So the at-risk for women who are past a certain age, it's not a risk for the woman. It's a risk for the baby. It's even, not like it's, you're not that. You're not categories like as a high risk pregnancy. That's not what it is. It's that you're just more likely to have a baby that might have like Down syndrome or, you know,
even,
some type
even
of
better.
Hormonal problem. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Still.
But it's not like all like she's high risk because she's 40 years old, so she has to kind of be bed bound. Like, it's not like that.
Oh, okay. Well, learn something new every day. I'm yeah. still like, if there's a way for me to not have a baby with disabilities,
mm-hmm.
I would take that route before I take the route of risking that happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like some people, it's like if you are trying. And then and it's just not happening. You just pray and ask God to let it happen at some point. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all you could do at that point. I would never say just forget about it now. Whatever
right.
whatever age, you know, it happens and it happens.
Would you stop?
What is he doing?
He's chewing on the corner of the his bowl. He's trying to just chew at it from the outside, from inside his cage.
Is there food in there?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But, okay.
So, but just ideally, in my brain, I would say to have them, from anywhere between 3 to 5 years, I guess.
That's super interesting, because like that you're saying, like, you know, have them as soon as possible.
I used to not feel that way.
I feel that way.
Yeah.
I feel opposite to what you feel.
Yeah.
I feel like just wait, not as long, like, just wait as long as possible, okay? Because obviously you want to take different factors into consideration, like you're saying, age, whatever. But I really, really, really feel like it's important to spend one-on-one, like, time with your spouse before adding another person. Because just think about us. How often do we get to have like intentional one-on-one intimacy, like go on a date, you know, just be able to have a conversation uninterrupted, you know what I'm saying? Like, or have conversations that have nothing to do with our children. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got into our marriage with a child already.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't really experienced marriage like just me and you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel
like...
We were
together for 5 years, though, before. 4 years.
Yeah, we were just... But we were dating.
Yeah, but it's like...
There's a difference. This... There's a difference. You can't tell me you don't feel like there is a difference from when we were dating, when we were married. You don't
legal
think,
sex?
Like,
that's about it.
Not just legal sex, babe. Just like we were talking about yesterday, about like going out and then like you realizing like, oh, I still gotta go drop her off at home or whatever. Like, yeah. How about like going on a date and then we come home together?
Yeah.
You know,
that's bad. Like, yeah, that's better, but we could still do that. Like, it's like for me, like it would be, well, we got four kids. We just had, when it was just BJ, if it was just one, it would be easier to go out and just be us and nobody really bother us to come and get our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's like, what do you talk about? You could talk about anything. Like, the conversations about kids could happen if we didn't have kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think all of this, for me, we don't have to talk about our kids, but it's like, your day is mostly with the kids, so you're going to have story about the kids, and then I might have stories about work or something like that, and then we'll get into something else. Like, the conversations about the kids, for me, aren't, like, annoying, I guess, because I'm not the one that's, you know, dealing with them, but also... It's kind of vice versa. Like, let's just say me and you had two jobs because we didn't have no kids. Me personally wouldn't want to talk about work. Just like, I know you don't necessarily always want to talk about the kids, but at the that's all you have to talk about.
It's not that I don't necessarily want to talk about the kids. Even like annoying to talk about the kids. That's not the point. The point is I'm just saying, like, I just feel like we like robbed ourselves of enjoying marriage, of just me and you.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you get that later on, and then if we got to get healthy. But if you stay healthy, and also technology now is helping people that are in their middle age be healthier. You know what I mean? And feel better. So it's not like back in the day. When you hit 50, you were dead. People looked at you like, oh, you're about to die. You're old. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you hear somebody that's 40, even some people that's 50, you look at them, it's like, I couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
White people. It's white people like that. You know, that's different. Like, black don't crack. Always said, that's been the same. It's white folks nowadays that's, how old are you? You're 60. What? I thought you was 42.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's the thing. It's the delayed gratification thing. It's like, okay, in my 20s I could go out and have as much fun as I want to. Or what else other than going on a date and having a conversation?
I don't
is
like
keeping
sharing
you
my
from?
Time with you.
What do you mean?
I have to share you with four other people.
Okay, but...
I didn't get you by myself, like, to myself. Like, even when you were dating, like, you only have some, like, this amount of time to spend with each other, because at the end of the day, you got to go to your house, I got to go to my house. Like, maybe it's different for dudes, but, like, I want to spend every waking moment with you, and I can't.
Okay, so what do you think that's going to go away when we turn 40?
No, I'm just saying that I would have liked to experience, you know, that honeymoon phase of just like obsession with one another and not having to worry about another person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
uh-huh.
I don't know what it would have been like, or whatever, you know, but like, that's why I feel like, we should have got married when we were 19.
Me too.
20 years old. You know what I'm saying? Because we could have had all that time, and I still would have loved to have our kids at 23. You know what I'm saying? But we could have had 3 years of just me and you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then have our kids. Like, the time that I had, the age that I had my kids, I love it. Mm-hmm. I think we had our kids at a perfect age. Like, I can't wait till I'm in my 40s and I'm not taking care of, like, you know, changing diapers, wiping butts and faces and stuff. Like, I can't wait.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I always knew I didn't want to be like my parents and have kids later in their lives or whatever, you know? But I'm just saying, like, because we didn't do things the right way, like, we were obviously outside of God's will and the way that he has intended things to be, you know, I feel like I robbed myself.
Yeah, relax.
I robbed myself of certain experiences that I think that I would have enjoyed. And so it's not so much like, because that's why I said I didn't want to really talk about like age or whatever, because I, like I said, 23, great time to start having kids. Assuming you want to have a whole lot of kids like I wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just want to have one or two, you can even wait a little bit longer. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't go past 28.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, that's why I feel like, you know, we really should have, like, gotten married 19, 20 so that we could enjoy just me and you and then start having kids or whatever. Because, you know, like, for instance, like, if we have a friend... We have some friends who they just got married or whatever. Like, okay, think about my sister, right? How old was she when she got married? 19. Perfect. I think her and Derek should just be her and Derek for like the first 3 years, because the first 3 years of marriage is kind of challenging. And they could really just focus on marriage and building a really good foundation and not having, not to say that if you have kids, you can't, because I feel like, you know, we do have a good foundation, you know, whatever. Right. But we've had to learn how to navigate that in between, like raising a kid,
yeah,
you know, raising two kids, because 3 years in, we already had two kids. But I think that, like, she should wait. Like, I think that they should wait, like, 3 years before having a kid. You know? However, I do not think that women should suppress their natural desire to want to be a mother. As long as you're married.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I am not condoning women to go out and just have a baby because you really want to have a baby and like you don't care if you married, you don't care who the baby daddy is, none of that. And I've heard that. Actually, me and my mom were just like listening to somebody, it was on social media, like it was somebody interviewing another person, and how that person said that she was like, why are you not married to, you know, your baby's father? And it was like, because I don't know him like that, like, or something like to the effect of like, you know, what if he be like doing drugs, or what if he be doing this, that, and the third? And it's like, okay, so you don't feel like that person is capable to be your husband, but you felt like that person was a good choice to be the father of your child? Like, where's the logic with that? You know,
it's no logic.
So all that to say, like, assuming that a woman is married, I don't think that she should suppress her desire to be a mother. Like, if it, you really want, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do that, you know?
Yeah.
If you guys are in the situation to do it, like, obviously be smart, you know, don't like have kids and you can't feed your kids.
Right.
You know,
but this is the thing about also about kids. Like, a lot of times, too, with like on the dad side, it is like a battery pack, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just makes guys want to it grows them up faster. Yeah,
Yeah,
Like
I see it.
married with kids, men who are married with kids make substantially more money than men without a wife and kids.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, make sure you can feed them. It's not, I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying, like, if you're just making ends meet for you and your wife, probably should just wait a little bit.
Yeah, but
But if you
why?
have a
Let's
little bit,
like, why would you be just making ends meet? You know what I mean? Like,
I
I'm
don't know.
like if you are, if because, and I'm saying this, I know that I guess most people are not doing this, but I just want to change the mentality because we definitely didn't do it, but I just want to change the I want to get people to understand that you can do it. Like, it's not impossible to live below your means,
Yeah.
like way below your means, and just be smart with your money. Like, if you make 1,000 a week, it doesn't make any sense for you to find a place that's 1,200 even a month. Like, they have the different financial people know the different what you need to make to live a certain way. You know what I mean? You get what, you know what I'm saying?
What are the chances you think a couple have to find a place that is anything less than $1,000 right now?
I was just saying to live something, but you need to make enough. So obviously you need to do what you need to do with like learning to be able to have a higher paying job to have a skill, or and not be just like, oh, the government assistance is going to take care of us, or different, just it's just things that need to be on your mind and things that you need to pursue in order to not feel like you have to live paycheck to paycheck. You know
But
what I
I
mean?
really do just think that right now in this time, like, it is kind of hard though.
I don't think so. I think that it is easier than ever because we have technology. Like, you can go on YouTube and learn a skill. If you have the discipline. If you don't have the discipline, get the discipline. You know what
What
I'm
if a
saying?
person doesn't want to know a skill? What if a person is okay doing other jobs, like not being an entrepreneur, not
No, I'm not even talking about being an entrepreneur, but there are skills that you can learn to even just help you at a job. So you go in like, yeah, I know how to do this, I know how to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, the new tech stuff, learning all of that stuff. First of all, that's where it's going. Everything, like, it's a lot of manual jobs that just aren't gonna be here anymore because it's robots that's gonna be able to do it cheaper. So you want to be the person that's programming those robots, programming those softwares, and they have those boot camps and you ain't gotta go to school anymore for it. They got a boot camp that you can learn in a month or two, or a half a year or something like that. You put that on your resume and you could get a job like that. That's what I'm saying.
I'm kind of confused where you're going to, because that's assuming that a person wants to do that kind of job, though.
But what I'm saying is, you can't look at it as if that's a certain job is gonna still be here. You have to do that job.
Medical people in the medical industry, they're gonna stay here.
Okay, but that's even something still that you have to go to school for, learn. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a skill that you're gonna have to learn. Like, what jobs right now that are low paying jobs, what do you think are is like still gonna be here?
My mom don't get paid nearly enough for what she does. to sustain a living. The only reason why she's being able to is because Dan, because of his job or whatever. But my mom, she got a whole degree and she don't get paid. Like, they don't get paid what they're supposed to be getting paid. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. What is her job? Is like a mom counselor? Like, but.
So it's social work.
Social work.
Let's say.
But this is the thing though, with the, we're talking about married couples. Mm-hmm. So the, like, whatever you choose to do, whoever is making a note, like, you could either choose to both of y'all work or choose to have one person work. But it's like,
saying is a person, like a couple, family has to make like well over six figures in order to live a nice, comfortable life and not have to worry about stuff because things are so expensive. The cost of health insurance is so expensive. The cost of gas is so expensive. Like,
I don't think you have to. I don't think so. To have a comfortable life, you just have to live on less than you make. Period. To live a comfortable life.
Okay. What about us?
What about us?
With what you're making, and you're our only income, we're a married couple, what you're making, how much more can we live below our means to be able to live a comfortable life? We can't, because the cost of things to live are so expensive.
But we messed up earlier, so now there's things that we have to pay. Mm-hmm. But if we didn't have to pay, mm-hmm. because we messed up earlier, because we wanted to live a life over our means, mm-hmm. now we're just trying to play catch up.
We still wouldn't be able.
Yes, we would.
How?
What do you mean how?
How will if we be didn't, able to if, live a comfortable life?
If we didn't, if we didn't have to pay back loans and stuff. We had to start paying back loans before, not just now. Yeah. We wouldn't even be in this situation now if we were doing the right thing before.
Right, but I'm saying with your income right now. Yeah, not talking about that, before.
But with the income right now, that's what I'm saying. If let's just say we started out right here, where I'm at right now, and
before, and no before, dad, no nothing. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We'll be good.
Yes. Because we would save up for a half a year, six months of expenses saved. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We would have six months expenses paid. Investments. You know what I'm saying? Whatever chunk is left over in investments. Paying tithes and offering and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. like we would have that if because and then no rent, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you just the stuff that we have to pay that's not coming to us in our pocket is consequences from not doing the right thing before.
But what I'm saying though, my question is, it's like a person that doesn't want to work for themselves, a person that doesn't really care about investments or whatever, like
you're talking about somebody that is just okay with being poor, like they don't want to do nothing is a person you're describing. If they're like, I don't care about investment, like investments isn't like if you just put money into a mutual fund, mm-hmm. that's not something that's going to get you rich tomorrow. That's something that you just keep putting away and it's going to grow more than if you put it in the bank.
I'm talking about the investments you were talking about that we want to make.
That's different. I'm not talking about the ones we necessarily want to make. I'm talking about just smart money investments, mm-hmm. that will help your money grow, mm-hmm. not to get rich tomorrow,
right,
or in a couple months or even in a year, but 15 20, 30 years down the line, you'll have $1 million, more than a million, depending on how much you're putting away. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that is the person that you're, that's a W-2 person.
Right. That's the person I'm
That's the person I'm talking about.
Okay.
A W-2 person.
Well, because when you say investments and stuff, I'm thinking about the investments that we have talked about, the goals that we have. And that's not necessarily everybody's goals. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody want to invest in real estate. Not everybody want to do, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but even they don't want to invest in real estate at the rate that we may want to. But you can invest in real estate, not be getting rich tomorrow, but living comfortably because you just invest in a fund. Or you invest in maybe a rental property and it's
let's use your parents for an example. They're not trying to do real estate. They not trying to, like, outside of like doing like a insurance thing, investing in a life insurance, Roth IRA, other than that, they not really out here 401k. Doing others.
That's fine.
You know what I'm saying?
That's fine.
So that's the class I am talking about when I say when we're talking about
we're talking about
kids.
Somebody that just wants a job. They're cool with being an employee.
Yes.
Those people, there's plenty of those people that are millionaires. Not like, no joke. Everyday millionaires. Dave Ramsey wrote a book about everyday millionaires. Mm-hmm. It is regular W-2 people that you, looking at them, you wouldn't think that they were a millionaire. Mm-hmm. But they're a millionaire, not because they have a million in the bank necessarily. They probably got a nice amount in the bank though, but all of their assets combined make them a millionaire. Mm. So they house is paid off. Mm-hmm. and it's at the value of it is a certain amount. They got a 401k investments, Roth IRA, all of that maxed out, sitting in the bank, and it's a couple hundred thousand. They have maybe a certain 100,000 in their actual bank account that they could take from. Their savings is, they got more than 6 years. I mean, 6 months. They probably got a year, year and a half, depending on how long they've been living debt free. No debt.
Yeah.
They don't owe anybody anything. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a real thing if you live by the principles of not having debt, not being a consumer, and living below your means. You know what I'm saying? So it's people that they can afford, like, they really could afford, like, they got the money to get a Lamborghini, but they drive a Corolla.
Yeah.
They drive a used car.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they don't really care about that Lamborghini. They're not into cars. Who cares about that Lamborghini? I'm gonna drive this gas efficient car and use the money that I would have used for that Lamborghini on another investment, on a rental property, on a mutual, or put in more into my Roth IRA, mm-hmm. put it into my savings for however long. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not use credit cards, because for what? You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't want to be in the mindset of you have to be in debt. You have to have a car note. You have to have a mortgage. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that stuff is not something that you have to have. You don't even need to have credit. There's people out there that don't got credit. That's millionaires. Now, sometimes you, like, it's harder to, if you're a business person, but even I think Dave Ramsey, he don't have no type of credit, like, none of them, none, like, his whole, whoever, you know, who works with him, all of that, that's what they live by. Like, you don't need credit,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes credit helps to get, you know, grow a business faster. But then you got to pay, you know, at some point you're going to have to pay it off with interest.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, even if you don't, okay, want to learn a skill, but you just want to go to, you want to get into a company and grow with that company is and go as far as you can in that company. That's doable.
Yeah.
So all of that to say, you can have kids on a low income if you decide that you want to live below your means, but you have to decide that you're going to be disciplined and live below your means.
Oh.
Even like student loans and stuff like that. Like, with, if you're a parent and you decide that you're going to live that way, and then you teach your kids to live that way, and then you put away that money that you want to give to your kids, you know what I'm saying? You put it in the whatever, though, it's like different investment vehicles that you can put it into for them to use strictly on college, or for them to just at a certain age, they'll get that money that you've been putting away for them for whatever they want to use it for later on when they hit a certain age.
So basically, excuse me. So basically, for you, you feel like the sooner the better because it makes you hustle.
Yeah, I think so. I think the sooner the better. But I will, for the sake of the conversation, I'll put a number. I would say anywhere between 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, so
But I'm not mad if it's like the first year, like, you know. Because it's there's gonna be a point where we get to have that one-on-one time.
what do you think are the chances of a couple, like, if they have kids right from the jump, like in the first year, or even that after the first year, or like us already have kids and then get married? What do you think are the chances of them, once those kids are grown, not really like having a relationship, like in the sense, like, you know, like them, you know what I'm saying? Like they would pretty much now try to have to get to know each other. They don't really know each other outside of their kids. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I would say that's poor, like, time management on their
for
part.
sure. But what do you think are the chances of that happening in people who have kids right away?
The
You
chance of
think
that
that
happening?
it's like a really high chance? You think that's kind of like,
It might be a high chance if you're not working on your marriage. Like, yeah, it's a high chance if you don't care about your marriage.
so do you think that regardless of them having kids or not, it would still reflect in their marriage because they don't care?
Yeah. It don't matter. The kid doesn't matter. It's something else that could come up and that could keep you from not knowing your wife or your husband. So,
I feel like now I feel like my answer has kind of changed because I never thought about it like that.
like what?
I never thought about it like, if you really care about your marriage, it doesn't matter if you have kids,
Yeah.
you know, right away or whatever, how many kids, one kid, two kids, three kids, however many kids, because you'll still make time for that person. If you
Yeah.
value this relationship, you'll invest in the relationship.
Right.
So I feel like it kind of changed because I didn't feel like it did, I didn't think about it like that. I just thought about it like, it's not that I don't love you, it's just that I don't got time for you. I gotta do this and I gotta do that with these kids. And by the time it's like alone time with me and you or whatever, I'm tired, you're tired. And so we just don't even like, you know, have intentional time with one another.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
That's nasty. That's nasty business.
how do you feel like we're doing?
We are doing okay. I think we could do better. And but that's why this is happening. That's why I'm, you know, looking things up and want to read books and like take notes. That's why I want to go to like our church's marriage one day. Like, I want to do that out. I don't think there's ever going to come a time where it's like, I don't want to go to a marriage conference.
Okay, cool, 'cause my mom just sent me one.
Yeah, like, I don't.
So that's a weekend one.
Yeah, I would love to do that. If we could, like, even once a quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least definitely once a year. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, this is forever.
Do you feel like it's necessary to spend money on each other, in order to be intentional and have time with each other?
No.
How do you, what are ways that a person, like that a couple could spend intentional time with each other and like, you know, really grow without having to spend money?
Just talking to each other, just having a conversation, like about anything. And it's okay to disagree. Just wife, respect your husband. Husband, love your wife. And I just told you I'm reading this book, Love and Respect. I've heard about it forever. I don't know when it came out. I think it came out a while ago, like either 90s or early 2000s or something like that.
Jeez.
It's not an old book. Like it all everything in it is still good. But anyway, like one of the first parts that you know, when it's getting to it, is talking about is, so the guy that wrote the book, he was a pastor and he counseled couples, and he would ask, do you think your wife loves you? But it's, these are people that are mad at each other and get upset at things that are said or done. Do you think your wife loves you? Of course. Do you think your husband loves you? Yeah. Okay, so why aren't you, whenever something happens, why aren't you giving them the benefit of the doubt, basically to know, okay, they might have said it this way, said it that way, but I know that they love me, so let me relax, take it for whatever they said, just hear it out, and then, you know, maybe we could talk about it later on. You know what I'm saying? So just like you said last episode, just communication. You just have to have that communication with each other. You know what I'm saying? And in all aspects, fun conversation, sad conversations, things we disagree about, just everything. You gotta talk. And that's why also we said last episode, you gotta like love your not love, but get with somebody with the same values and somebody that you can tolerate, and not even tolerate,
No,
like
not
somebody you
you.
like, somebody you want to talk to. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not smart to just even just pick somebody that your values align. That is the most important thing. But do I like, is this person annoying, or do I like to talk to them?
Right, I low key, I think I told you this. I thought that there was something wrong with me for a really long time because I like just wanted to be with you, around you all the time. Like I did not like any moments where we were not together. And I thought there was something wrong with me. I'm like, man, like is this depression? Like what is wrong with me? Like
Am I
do I have
obsessed?
like yeah, like am I like dependent, like you know what I'm saying, like I have some type of codependency or you know like separation anxiety, like I don't know what it is. But then I started like meeting these other women who are married who love their husband that much, and it's like
And they're not
oh
crazy.
yeah, and it's like oh it's supposed to be like this, like I'm supposed to like want to spend every waking moment with him, like I'm not the only one who like following my husband to the bathroom because I'm trying to talk to you. Like come sit in this bathroom, babe, while I take a shower so we can talk. Like oh okay, cool.
But that's also too, though. I think that that is because I don't know how many guys are like that, but that is only because like we have to learn, we have to learn how to love.
Who? Guys?
Guys.
Uh-huh.
Like that is like that's what is taught anyway. It is love your wife unconditionally. Like that's what the Bible says. That's what Paul wrote. And he said, husbands, love your wife. Right? Something. I don't
It's
even know
open.
where it's at.
It's right there.
Let me see.
You
Let
told
me
me your
see.
Bible?
Yeah. But I don't know where, I can't
Oh.
remember where exactly it's at. I think it might be in Ephesians.
Yeah.
But it's like, but God's told husbands to love your wife. And the word love, and if you look it up in the Greek, is agape, which is unconditional love, which is what women have out the womb. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it specifically says husbands, because it's not something that is necessarily in our nature.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why the book is called, that I'm reading, is called Love and Respect. Women need love, men need respect. Need it. Both of them are needs for the other, for each other. Like, need love, need respect. You know what I'm saying? No. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, in this is NLT. For husbands, this means love your wives just as the Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. Oh, and I'll keep going. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined by his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Nobody, we don't really talk about that last part. I didn't even know that was there. You know what I'm saying? Like at the top, it talks about the submit and whatever. Nobody likes that. Nobody ever likes to hear that part. But that is different. That part is different. That submit, because that is from the curse with Eve. Eve, like, okay, it said that you're gonna always want to be the head of your husband, but you will never be. So God isn't redundant. So he's like, he's what he what this is he's got this, and he's saying this because, okay, wives, this is what you have to work on. You have to work on the submission part. And husbands, you got to work on the love part. And I don't know why. I don't know why we like why there is a part of guys that is not like love unconditional. You know what I mean? So, but that's just how it is. For that's what it is. So it's not hard for women to love unconditionally. But it also says to love your wife, and then wife, respect your husband. Why does it say that? Because sometimes it's, I mean, so I don't know. I don't know, because it's, I guess because you're also upset because you're not, it's hard to submit. I don't know. I'm not done with the book yet. So this is what, that's just when I was reading it and he said that, I was like, it says that? I never knew that.
The thing is, okay, is if this all goes together, because if you love me, if you show me love the way that you're supposed to,
Right.
it shouldn't be hard for me to respect you.
Right.
It should not be hard for me to respect that when you make a decision, I have to go along with that, because I know you are leading your family in the right direction.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's hard for women to submit. It's hard for women to respect, because that makes it that they right. They have like this negative connotation with them words, because, you know why? Because maybe they've gone through something and the man didn't show them love. The man didn't make it easy for them to respect them and to submit to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like you're less than a person. You know what I'm saying? You're nothing.
Yeah.
And so a woman like, no, I'm not finna submit to no man, you know, like I'm not finna be submissive. I'm not finna like your respect is earned. Like my respect.
Right. That's what he's talking about in the book. That's what he's talking about. It's like, and that's what he's saying. And agape love is unconditional. Like it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. You don't have to earn this love. It's unconditional. And he was like, women need to give unconditional respect. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn the respect. You shouldn't have to earn the respect. But nobody teaches that. He even said it. He's a pastor, he's a preacher. He wasn't teaching that. He was just teaching love unconditional, not respect unconditional as well.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, I'm not all the way into, I'm not, you know, finished with it, but it's like, also like, how do you do that? Cause even me, I don't even know exactly what that looks like. I know that I feel respected by you. I don't feel contempt from you. So it's kind of like, I'm not really worried about it necessarily for us, but it is like, I still want to, figure out what exactly does that mean and how to help other people. You know what I'm saying? And I like how he framed it also in the book, was the power that women have. It's like, this is you can look at it as empowering, because we always look at, because we are supposed to be the head. The husband is supposed to be the head. You're supposed to lay down your life 100%. Let's just say you have a husband that just, he's doing all the things. He's not beating on you. He's none of that, but he's not showing you the type of love that you want. You know what I'm saying? Or that you feel that you need. He gave an example of an older lady who, after this conference, all she did was like give him a compliment and tell her husband that he respected her, or and whatever, something, you know, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know if it was the next day or something, he came home and just, and he was a hunter or whatever, older guy, and not very expressive, but he came home and just complimented her, just, and it wasn't his, that wasn't his character. Yeah. But he complimented her, said all of these really nice things, and it just changed their marriage from there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's empowering to know and understand that this Bible is like, a lot of the stuff is like, yes, a man is supposed to be the head, but God wrote it for everybody, man and woman. So there are some things, like women, if you read this and you just expect for man to always change or do the right thing, and you don't really have to do nothing until you see the change from them, you are also missing out on the blessing that God might have if you would just read and see what you need, what you could do to also change your situation, even with allowing your husband to lead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's crazy, because even with this, for me, when I hear this, I'm just like, that is nice to hear. I like that. But it's also still like, because my mind isn't warped, I'm still like, well, I need to know what I need to do, though.
Yeah.
I still want to know, what do I need to do? But I just like this book, just because, like, nowadays, it's even got, it's like he said, it's just men that's also like, men are bad and women are good, basically. No, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of the dynamic of what is talked about nowadays, is just man bad, woman good. Man have to change, women don't have to do anything except be themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the messaging. And it's just kind of refreshing to not hear that, even though I'm still on the side of, man, you need to do what you need to do, and things are going to fall in line if you're doing what you need to do.
Just think that that's just everybody needs to just do what they need to do. Like, stop looking at the other person.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, just like,
you're right. That's why I think that it is empowering. Regardless of what is, how somebody could spin it to be like, well, see, like, women have to go through all of that. That's another thing about just victim culture, is saying like this whole group had to go through something together, when it could have been a nice size amount of people, but it's also people that just didn't go through that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Didn't go through certain things that maybe this oppression or something is like linked to these people. But there are some of people in that ecosystem, or that people group, that also did not go through what is being talked about. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't gone through racial oppression, period. I had more opportunities than some white people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not to say that people that Black folks and minorities growing up in inner cities aren't like way behind in the line for opportunities. You know what I'm saying? But I can't speak on that, because that's not my experience. Mm-hmm. So I can't talk to that.
Yeah.
I can only speak to my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know what else. That's all I had for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
I just think that it's just super easy to respect and honor you.
Yeah.
So, even if you're not making the best choices, you know, like, I still do it. I would still respect you and honor you because, you know, of the covenant we made before God.
Yeah.
You know. And I just be thinking about it. You gotta think about it like, we did absolutely nothing to deserve the gift of salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should have all died.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
Do you know how crazy that is to think, like, God still loves people who curse his name?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He knows what you think about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he still loves the person who is the same worshiper.
Mm-hmm.
He loved you so much, he sent his son.
I was just watching an interview of this dude in Africa who was literally like a warlock type witch doctor person in Africa, and he was in the occult. Like, he was deep in there, like,
yeah.
he was on missions, like, you know how we do evangelical work? He was like doing evangelical work for Satan. Like, literally, it's like a 3-hour, yes, babe, yes, saved. He's a intercessor for people now. Like, that's what he says. Like, that's kind of his title. He's an intercessory prayer warrior type dude.
So, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Don't shake my titty like that. Come on, man. You're on camera. Shake my titty like that. What's wrong with you? That's crazy.
Baby, you're an idiot. Because God had the type of love that we have for one another. I'm not talking about for me. I'm talking about the world. That person, that man.
Yeah.
Had no chance.
None.
I had no chance.
None of us had a chance.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no sin is greater than the next.
So we just have to live our life the way that he
commanded.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard. Yeah. You know, and he knows that.
Yeah.
But we have to. And you know what? I was reading in that devotional. Mm-hmm. It's super easy to love your family. Super easy to love your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, super easy to love people who are doing good, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not so easy to love a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to love a murderer.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to love Karen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to.
Yep. So. Yep.
That's it. I think that's a good place to end.
Just yeah.
Love the way God loves.
Yeah. Peace.